Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop and trust your intuition. Through the wonderful array of guests we have on the show and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane and I am your host for the podcast. Now, today we're doing something a little bit different. I haven't got a guest. It's all about me. No, it isn't. It's all about you, because today we're going to get stuck into a little bit more of the practical aspects and some exercises about how you can start to really develop your intuitive muscles. Now, I don't know why we've got intuitive muscles on there, because it's got nothing to do with that. But I guess it's like a muscle in the fact that the more you practice it, the more you use it, the better you get at it. And that's probably the best way to describe it. So that's why we've used it in the terminology of muscles. But I've got my little notes here, my big paperwork of notes, so I can go through and make sure I cover off on anything because I do tend to start talking and then, you know, go off on a different tangent. But today I really want to narrow it down. So I want you to get this information. And it's one of these podcasts, this actual episode is one of those ones you can listen over and over again to, so you can get the understanding of it. You'll listen to it to start with and you'll go, oh yeah. But then you'll start to hear other things that come through. So don't be afraid to listen to it to a few times. And also share, subscribe and like the podcast, and we can really get out there for everyone else too. But today it's all about some techniques and exercises to help you learn to trust your intuition, you know, so we're going to start to develop it a little bit more and learn to trust it. Now, here's my notes here. So the first thing we need to do when you're looking at doing this is actually cultivating a presence of an awareness. So one of the first things we look at is, and I always go to awareness first, because we need to be aware of where we're at before we can move forward, or just acknowledging where we're at. So when we do move forward, we can see how far we've gone, because a lot of the times when we're doing this sort of work, honestly, the wheels start to wobble and you sort of think, oh my goodness, you know, am I getting anywhere? Is any of this working? Because I know it can be really, really challenging. And it's not a short-term thing. It's not like you go to university and you study a subject for, you know, 4 months or whatever it is, and then you're prolific. That's it. You're an expert on it. It's not like that. It takes a long, long time and lots of learnings and lots of layers. They talk about the onion layers. It's lots of layers. The situation with me when I was violently attacked, there was lots of areas there that I needed to go through. It wasn't about sort of going, I'll get over it, or, you know, don't forgive them, all these different things. You go through it in different layers, and you often go back and reflect back on stuff you've experienced, and you find another learning to it, another understanding to it. So we're constantly growing and constantly developing and moving forward. So awareness is really, really important. Where are you up to now? What level of awareness do you feel you have? Now, there's no right or wrong here, and there's no distinct levels. It's not like you're at A, B, C, D. There's nothing like that. It's more about you getting an understanding. And of course, with intuition, we receive that intuitive messages in so many different ways that you could be strong in one area and not so strong in the other. And that's okay too, because that's more about your personality and what you like and what you do. So that too is okay. We'll go into that a little bit more as we go on. But the main thing is the awareness, is where you're up to now, and getting that real clear understanding of that. And even where you want to go, that's part of the awareness. I remember thinking, when I was going through the marriage breakdown and things, I remember thinking, oh, life's got to be better than this. What can I do? Where can I go? I know I want to be happier. I know but I don't know what that looks like. I don't have an understanding of what I need to do to get there. So that again is another awareness. We're starting to look at not only what's happened, but where we want to go. So we're covering off on all areas. But the truth of awareness is bringing us back to the center where we are now. So it's okay to know where we want to go, and it's okay to reflect back on what we've done, but it's where we're up to now, right in this stage, that the strong awareness comes into play. Now, one of the things I look at when we're talking about awareness is with intuition. The main thing I say to people with intuition is there's three elements there. It's ask, it's receive, and it's then action. Now, we can ask in many ways. Even running a card deck, you know, you're asking a question. When you're praying, you're asking a question. When you're getting angry and swearing at somebody, you could almost, you know, like the WTF, you know, what the hell's going on? You're asking a question. Asking is what you need to do. And one of the best ways to do that is when you actually go to bed. So I will often say, okay, I'm really stuck on this. I don't know what to do with that. Can you give me some sort of an answer? And you might get a dream. You might have some sort of a vision during the night. I'll often find that I go for a walk in the morning. When I come back and have my shower is when I get some sort of aha moment, or sort of go, oh, well, that's it. I haven't thought of it that way. And you start to get some downloads while I'm in the shower. Often you'll get your downloads near water. So shower, toilet, sitting on the toilet's always a good spot, by the beach. And, you know, by running water, that sort of aspect, you will often get your downloads then. I'm not really sure why, because, I mean, for me, water is emotions, and maybe, you know, I don't know, but it's near water that I tend to get those little downloads, little aha moments. So always ask. Oh, and one time, I'll tell you about that in a minute. So ask. So when you do your asking, your prayer, however you do that, you will then start to put it out there, because free will means you have to ask. If you don't ask, free will means that, you know, you aren't going to get the answers that you want. So always ask, even if you're thinking about it, oh, gee, I really would like to, you know, have a bit more money, or I really would like to have this, or start to ask. And as we get better at asking, we get clearer and we start to attach emotion with it, allows that energy to flow even more, because emotion is energy, emotion. So that allows it to flow even more. So we've asked, okay, you've done your asking. The next bit then is to receive. Now, when we're talking about receiving, again, we're talking about this awareness, because we can receive in so many different ways. There's lots of ways to receive this information. And like I said, I will receive a little aha moment, little downloads while I'm in the shower. I often get that little, oh, yes, try this, try that. You will often receive information when you're doing things like washing the dishes. Not that we do that very much, because we've got dishwashers, but those mundane jobs that we do that we don't actually think about, we just do, hanging up the washing. That was a really good one for me. Used to get it a lot when I was hanging out the washing, especially on the farm. And you would be hanging up because you're just automatically doing something. So your brain is actually engaged in doing something, and it allows these intuitive messages to come through, and you start to get those messages that way. So be open to receiving. And of course, the best way to receive, to be open to receiving, is meditation. You can receive a lot of information that way if you can turn that little brain off. Active meditation is, I mean, I love a passive meditation, you know, where you sit in your arm. I love doing that. That's my goal, that's my real peace out. But active meditation is really good, especially for people that are busy. Now, an active meditation is like washing the dishes, hanging up the washing. An active meditation is where you're actively engaged in doing something and allowing those intuitive messages to come through. Now, when I say actively engaged in doing something that isn't driving a car, don't do things that are, you know, could be dangerous, but walking is a great active meditation. If you're not talking to somebody, you're not engaged in that, you're just doing the walking, you're absorbing the area, what's happening around you, the environment, and that will allow messages to come through. So walking is a really good active meditation. Yoga is another type form of active meditation as well, because you're just doing these basic stretches, and You're engaging the mental, physical side of you to allow that spiritual, intuitive messages to come through. So active meditation is a really good way to receive. And you will find different ways that you will do it that will suit you and what you're doing and how you're going. I have to be honest, I do a lot of I do get a lot of information when I'm driving. You know, I do tend to zone out a little bit. Not in a bad way, like it's not like I got my eyes closed. I am still driving. But it's funny because you're focusing on what you're doing and all of a sudden these little thoughts start to come through or these little messages come through. So you can do it while you're driving, but it's not something I highly recommend. I think that's the reason why I can get that while I'm driving is because of the years of passive meditation that I did that allowed me to do that. So I can actually meditate almost anywhere. And that's what passive meditation is about. So that is really, really that side of it. So you've asked and now you're receiving this information. The next thing to do is action it. Okay, so when we receive information, we've got to action it. This is a story I've got to tell you because, this is me being silly, as you do. I remember that I can't even remember what the question was, but I remember I had a deck of cards in my hand, some Oracle cards, and I'm shuffling them up. And I know in that deck, and it was like 52, 54 cards in that deck, there was one yes and one no. And I'm shuffling away and I'm going, you know what? I'm sick of this fluffy thing trying to interpret messages, because sometimes you'll get patience or relax, or you sort of think, oh, come on, I just want a yes, no answer. And so I'm shuffling the deck and I'm thinking, come on, just give me a yes, no answer. I need a yes, I need it clear. I'm just trying to give it to me clear. And I'm asking and, you know, getting a little bit agitated while I'm asking, but I'm still asking. Anyway, I flipped over the first card and it was a yes. Now, out of all of that deck, I flipped a yes. It wasn't a maybe wait a few minutes and then do it. It was like, yes, now is the time, do it. And I've gone, oh, wow, like that spun me out. And, of course, then I went, right, now I've got to do it. But I didn't action it. I don't know why. And I remember later on going, oh, I had all the answers. I asked, I got the messages that I want. Why didn't you action it? Why didn't you go ahead and do it? And it was because I was asking, I wasn't quite ready to do it. Even though I wanted a yes, no answer, I wasn't actually quite prepared to go ahead and do it. So when you're asking questions that you want an answer for, make sure you're prepared to go one way or the other. You know, I've done quite a few readings and you hear people talk about relationships and I sort of go, well, yeah, that relationship, there was one the other day, that relationship is not going anywhere. You know, the flower image that you have presented to me, that relationship is not going. It looks beautiful, looks great, but it's not going anywhere. It was cut flower. Cut flowers don't grow. They look beautiful for a certain amount of time and then they die off. That was what her relationship was about. And I said, that relationship isn't going to go anywhere. And she didn't want me to say that. She wanted the relationship to go, but it wasn't going to. And that was the reality of it. So if you're asking these questions, be prepared to go either way. Be prepared to receive the answer that you're going to get. And whether it's positive or negative, or whether it's one way or another, be prepared for it. And that's all about the awareness. The awareness is, am I ready to make that decision? Am I ready to go there? Whether it is one way or another. So keep that in mind. That's that whole awareness aspect. So meditation's really, really good for receiving. And then we need to action it. And again, it's different actioning. It could be just a change of mindset to action. It could, you know, be whatever it is. And look, sometimes we get these messages and we don't understand them. They can be quite challenging because it's like very disjointed. When our soul is sending us these intuitive messages, because that's where these messages are coming from. We have our physical body and we have our spiritual body. How do they connect? If the spirit hasn't got physical senses like the physical body does, how do they communicate? And it's all through that intuitive messages that the soul is sending these messages to you. And they can be disjointed. They can be awkward. And let's face it, sometimes we need to be slapped around the head a few times before we get the understanding of it, because, you know, it can be really quite challenging. I remember this one time we were driving down the road, down one of the big highways on the M1. And that's in Queensland in Australia. And my partner was driving. Anyway, we'd been discussing something, and I can't remember what it was, but we were discussing something. And then all of a sudden, a big billboard went by. And he goes, "Oh my goodness, did you see that billboard? That was exactly what we were discussing." I said, he goes, "Wow, that was really freaky." You know, so he saw it, and I went, "No, I didn't see it." And so we kept on chatting and, you know, talking about different things. And then the guy on the radio started talking. And of course, I've zoomed in and listening on that. And then when that finished, I went, "Oh my God, did you hear that? That was amazing. That was what we were talking about." And he goes, "Oh, I didn't hear it." Now, he's in the car with me. We're in there together. He saw something. I heard something. Same messages coming through in different ways. Now, for some reason, his intuition, his spirit, his soul said, "Look to the right," or "Look that way, and there's the billboard." Mine didn't. Mine said, "Hey, listen to this." And I heard this come through the audio. So we pick up messages in different ways, and that's through our chakras, and that's how we're getting those messages coming through. So as we get those messages, you know, you're going to be stronger in different areas. You're going to be, and maybe audio is more my area because I do the podcast. I don't know, but I tend to hear things more where he tends to see things. He's very visual and needs to see things. So it's really lovely when we get an understanding of where our strengths lie, because that's where we're going to receive those intuitive messages. So we've talked about awareness, ask, receive, and action. We know that these messages are coming through from our soul, from our spirit, and they can be a little bit jumbled, and we may need to receive them a few times, and that's okay. Just allow that to happen. When we start to go into embracing those, like the signs and the language and the symbols that come through, that's when you start to see them, that synchronicity come through. We'll start to see it happen three times. Like I said, when we were doing that driving, we were talking about it before we even got in the car. He saw the billboard. I heard the audio. It's coming in so many different ways. You start to go, "Oh, okay, I've got to pay attention to this." Now, if you're seeing it always online, you're seeing it on Facebook or on Insta or something to that effect, Instagram, be mindful that can be the analytics behind those platforms. But if you saw it on Facebook and then saw completely different, you know, somebody else was talking about it, or we saw it in a completely different context, say on the news, something a little bit different, then you're starting to see it. That's the synchronicity coming through. I am a digital marketer. I do digital marketing. So I am very aware that if I type in something on the computer, I am very aware that they take in that information and they will start to show me that information. If I'm looked up a website, they'll start to show me that information somewhere else if people have got paid marketing. So don't get confused with the paid marketing. The other aspect you need to be really mindful of in social media, if you are typing in or if you are looking at different things on the social media, Facebook will give you more of that. Social media will give you more of whatever you like, whatever you look at, whatever you stay a bit longer on, social media will send more to you. Now, I remember a case when they were doing some sort of a movement in Brisbane. And I was working with the football, with the young girls at the football. So I was a sports trainer with Brisbane Roar Football. Now, one of the young girls said to me, "Oh no, I'm going to this rally. I'm going to this movement. Rah, rah, rah." She knows everybody's talking about it. And I went, "I've never heard of it." And that the fact is, because she's clicked on it and had a look at it, Facebook, any of those, start to show you more of what you like or what you looked at. So she saw it coming through all the time. It was just coming through her feed constantly. When the reality is, I never saw it once. So if you've got to be really mindful of that, and if you feel that you're getting intuitive messages that way, just step back a little bit and say, well, how else am I receiving it? Because if I'm not receiving it from a billboard or from the radio station or from somewhere else, and it's not the news, it's not the news, remember, because I will do repeat that throughout everywhere, start to get an understanding of that. Am I really having these synchronistic experiences, or is it just Facebook or Google, whatever, putting that in front of me so I can click on it? I remember I never watch a lot of reels or things like that on the Facebook. And one day there was this crocodile, and I don't know, I tapped on the reel. And then since then, I keep getting crocodile reels come up because that was what I tapped on and had a look at. Even on YouTube, you know, I go onto my YouTube and they've got those really ridiculous looking, and you may not have seen them because you might not have clicked on them, these ridiculous looking things like a python eating an elephant, you know, like, so it's been falsely created and dramatized so you click on it. And it was like, oh gosh, now I've got to, you know, try and mix that up and not see that so I don't have to look at that crap anymore. But anyway, that's not synchronistic, that's analytic. So that's all coming through there. So one of the things it says now on my little notes is to say to embrace the language of signs and symbols. So get an understanding of how you see signs and symbols. I've got this beautiful big sunflower here. That's part of my book and flower readings and things like that. But what does that mean to you? You know, say you see another sunflower, or you drive past and there's a field of sunflowers. All of a sudden, you've seen sunflowers three or four different times, and they've popped out at you. It's like, whoa, what does that? You have to get an understanding of what that means to you. Whether it's a flower, whether it's a, I don't know. I'm looking around, thinking, a jug of water. You know, whatever it is, what does that mean to you? One of the things I did when I had a reading, I was doing some healing on a lady, a young lady it was, and she had a visitor come in. Now, this visitor came in with an elderly gentleman. The elderly gentleman brought him forward because he was too, not young, but too new to come through. And he showed me his palm, and he had a ring on his palm. Anyway, when I was doing my healings and things like that, I would say to the client, you know, if I get any other messages come through, do you want to know about them? And anyway, this young lady said yes. And I said, well, this young fellow came through. He came through with an elderly gentleman. It was like he couldn't do it on his own. He wasn't either ready to do it, or he was too excited to do it, because this young fellow was jumping out of his skin. Not that he had any skin, but he was jumping out of his skin. He just wanted to connect with you and everything else. But he showed me a ring. Now, I got what does a ring mean to you? And because a ring can be so many things. Could it be an engagement? Could it be marriage? Could it be a separation? Could it mean eternal, because it's a circle? Could it mean, you know, all these different things, worldly, it's round, all these different things that a ring could mean to you? And so I said to this young lady, I said, he's shown me a ring and it almost feels like first love. And she goes, no, I've married my first love. And I went, okay, well, that's really weird, because that wasn't ringing true to me, but I didn't understand it. All I could do was bring forward what I noticed. And I said, he's just so excited. He just wants to tell you, you know, and he keeps showing me this ring, and it's almost like what you're saying isn't right. And then she had a bit of an aha moment and explained to me the situation. She said, when I was at primary school, I was best buddies with this young man, with a young man. You know, they were kids at school and they were just the best of buddies. But when they went to high school, they went to different high schools. And that relationship broke down a little bit. They weren't as best. They got their own friends in their own areas and they sort of went apart. And she said, but he was always like my first love. He was my bestest friend and I loved him dearly. But she ended up falling in love with somebody else, And on the night of their engagement, they had an engagement party. There's the ring, had an engagement party. And she said, I invited my primary school friend, and he had a car accident on the way to the engagement party and died. And that's who it was talking to him. He was so excited to be there. And this is how we're looking at it. So I saw that ring. I did see it as a wedding ring and as an engagement ring or something to that effect, because I kept on saying to her, were you engaged to someone else? Or, you know, so what I was seeing was right, but how I was interpreting it may not have been quite right. But how else do you explain the first love? So this was all about the language, about the symbols and the signs that you're getting, and you will get different signs, you will get different understandings to it, but you don't have to interpret everything. And usually it comes in that synchronicity. You'll get a few things that will come through. And I mean, let's face it, having a spirit come through so excited, like, I mean, he just was in my face. I had to explain to this young lady what was going on, and was, you know, she was blown away. But these sort of things will happen. If you're supposed to see them, you will see them. It's how you interpret that and what you feel that sign is all about, what those signs and symbols are all about. So be mindful about those when you're receiving that information, and be open about it. You know, like I said, I looked at this as marriage, as engagement. And she said, no, I'm married already. You know, right, it doesn't make sense. And that's, yeah, so we had to dig a little bit deeper to find out what it was all about. So that's really good. Look at reoccurring things, things like with your signs and symbols. I often will see 1, 2, 3, 4. And I'll often see, like, the time, 12:34. You know, why am I looking at the computer at the time and noticing that? Why am I seeing 11:11 all of a sudden? And it will pop up, or 8:88. You know, you'll see these numbers pop up, but you'll see them synchronistically. You'll get like three in a row, or things that are similar. What was it? There was another one where we had 11:11, and I can remember, oh, I don't know who it was. I can't remember who it was, but We saw it a few times. I know. The other thing we did, I said to my partner one day, I said, I don't know, 46 keeps coming up. I don't know why 46 keeps coming up. It just keeps on popping up in my head. It just, and I said, it's happened three times. It's really weird. And in a way, we'd been looking for a house at this particular stage and couldn't find one. And we drove past a road, and there was a for sale sign. And he said, I said, oh, there's one back there for sale. And he goes, okay, we'll go back and have a look. And went back, and it was number 46. And went, ooh, maybe that's the one we should be looking at. But we were so busy trying to find a storage unit, because we'd sold the house and we're moving. And we've gone into this place in the storage unit, and there's a lot of fluffing around and everything else. And they were going to put us on the top level, and we went, no, I don't want to do the top level, because it was the heat there. So we came down a couple of levels, and they said, oh, we can do this for you and do this for you. Anyway, we went up and saw the storage unit. It was number 46. It was like 3046. And then we saw it again in another one. So these numbers, and I remember looking to see what angel numbers they often call them. I looked to see what that was, and I can't remember what it was, but it was really it was really good. It was really on point to what was happening at the time. So have a look at those recurring things, those things that are happening, that's going on all the time, and you'll start to get that understanding of it. But now I want to come down to some practical exercises. Okay, some of the practical exercises that you can do to help you develop your intuition. Now, and I shouldn't say develop it, because honestly, we've all got it there. It's just practice using it and to trust it. You know, like, it's hard to trust it, because you start getting all this information and you just don't quite know what's what. So trusting it can be the challenging. And even me, I'm shuffling the deck of cards, asking for a yes, no answer, get a yes answer, didn't trust it, didn't action it, you know. And that's what actioning is all about, is that trust side of it. So some of the tools, the practical tools that we can use to help us develop our intuition or trust our intuition, is things like intuitive writing, what they call intuitive writing. A lot of people call it journaling. I tend to sort of refer to it as journaling, but that's where you're, some people love to do the writing. That's their thing. You know, some people just love that writing. It's that creative way of doing it. I'm a bit of a doodler. I tend to do a bit of writing. I like to do that. I'll take notes all the time. I'm a bit of a writer in that context. And yet intuitive writing never sort of resonated with me as much. But I know lots of people who do it and they love it. They absolutely love it. So what they do is they sort of just, it's a bit like an active meditation, but allowing those intuitive messages to just let your hand go. And you can do it. You can do intuitive drawing and things like that with the lovely little machine thing that's got, it's like a little rolly thing. Oh, I've forgotten what it's called. A plankette. You put your pencil in the top and it, excuse me, rolls. And it rolls and you just move your hand and it actually does the picture. So it's like you're allowing the spirit to use your hand to do the drawing or to do the writing. So intuitive writing is really cool. Give yourself the time and space to do it. Because when I, and probably that's what I haven't done, is because I've sort of started writing and then I've gone, oh, I don't want to write this and I want to write that. And then I thought, now it's just starting to write. I don't understand what it's writing. And a lot of times you won't until, you know, you're finished and then you start to read it. And sometimes it makes sense and sometimes it doesn't. So practice with that one is definitely on the cards. Allow yourself that time and that space to do it. If it's first thing in the morning, give yourself, 30 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. Bit like meditation, give yourself that time and that space to do it, because if you don't allow that time and space, you're not going to get what you need. So with the intuitive writing, I know a girlfriend of mine, she just jumps up and does it each morning I don't think she asks. She just, whatever comes through. But I know that there's been times there where she has asked and she sort of goes, I don't understand this, and she'll get it through her intuitive writing. So very good at that. She's done a bit of poetry and things like that too. So that, if that's your little passion, that is a great way of doing it. Another one is intuitive decision making. That's another little tool that we've got. And that's where we're letting our body tell us a yes, no answer. So where I use the deck of cards to get a yes, no answer, we can actually use our body. So we're standing upright. We just come into a little calming space and you can say, the hardest thing with the yes, no is that you've got to get ask the question correctly. Okay, you could say, is my relationship with my partner, is my partner and I going to be good? And you can get a yes. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be good in that relationship. So you got to get the wording really cool. It'd have to be something to the effect of, is my relationship with my current partner going to last for the rest of my life? And then seeing if you've got a yes, no, so that's sort of that understanding of it. It's lots of gray areas with a yes, no. So we have to be mindful of it, but you can get some really quick understanding of it. So how we do that is with that decision-making is you're standing there, you make sure you're grounded, nice and grounded, visualize that white light coming through the crown chakra, straight down into the ground, through the body, down into the ground. You're standing up nice and straight and you will say, define yes, and you will find your body will move either slightly forward or slightly back. And that is your yes, whichever movement it does. Similar to a pendulum, when you ask yes or no, and then you will ask it to define no, and it usually goes the opposite way. Now, the majority of times, yes will be forward and no will be back, but it's not always the case. So ask each time. Then when you've got your question, should I go out and have lunch with Kathy today? And I'll definitely go yes, but it may not. But that's the questioning, and that's what we're going to, how you can look at it. So that's when you're making those decisions. And again, you've asked, you've received an answer. Make sure you action it. You know, and only ask the questions that you want to start to action, because you're going to action it one way or another. Even to not do anything, if it's a no, you're still actioning it. You're still not doing anything. You're conscious that you're not going to be doing it. So that's really cool. Now, meditation we've talked about. You can do body scans as well, intuitive body scans. Body scans are where you're doing a meditation and you actually go through your body. I find body scans are really good for healing. It's a great way as you progress in your meditation to start doing your healing. But I want to get back to the basic tools to help you. Now, I've got a few here. So there's imagery, there's visual, there's physical, and there's structured readings. Okay, so these are readings type thing. Now, when we use these types of tools, what we often see is something physical. We have a physical thing, a tangible thing that we can look at or observe or see. And that gives us that logical aspect to it to almost engage the brain to allow those intuitive messages to come through. So almost like an active meditation, as we talked about earlier. Not all of them are like that, but a lot of them are. One of the ones I look at is visual. So we can look at visual things and we see things like pyromancy, which is looking at a fire and seeing the flames, all right, and seeing the messages within the flames, the imagery you get in the flames. Visuals also things like tea leaves, and that's called, what is it called? Tassiography, tea leaves. So again, they drink tea, you're actually seeing the tea leaves in the bottom of the cup and you're reading them. You're getting imagery from it and you're getting an understanding. Logical, allowing the intuition to come through. Like I said about the ring, it's logical, it's a ring, but allowing those intuitive messages to come through to see what that means, that sign, that symbol. What else have we got? Crystal balls. We've looked at crystal balls. You know, I've got my crystal ball just here. Beautiful smoky quartz crystal ball. Love doing scrying in that and seeing the different things you can see in there. It's just amazing the way the light catches it and areas like that. Again, I'm using my logical brain, my physical logical aspect, seeing something and then going, but what does that mean? And bringing those intuitive messages through. This is how we're doing it. That's the visual side of it. We have physical sides. Reading jewelry, which is called psychometry. Get it right. Reading physical objects, jewelry, things that people have belonged, watches, things like that is psychometry. So you're reading the object, the energy in the object. You have it here. Even flower readings, if you're reading a live flower, that's an object and you're reading the essence of the flower. What else do we have with that? Palmistry, that's a physical thing too. You're looking at the palms and getting a reading on the palms, face readings. There's so many different ways that we can do it. And you don't have to be good at all of them, but you can try different ones and see which ones resonate with you. Now, the other thing is like structured readings. So structured readings are more like the numerology and the astrology, where you've got a lot of information that you get the information from, you have a structure on how to do it, and then you do the reading with that. Now, as you've got that learning, the mental, the physical brain work happening, then you allow that intuitive messages to come through. So somebody that's doing planetary moon readings, things like that, they've got that the physical aspect of the moon and what it's doing, but you're always bringing in those intuitive messages, like a new moon, new beginnings, new this. But when you, and we can quote that, we can say that, and you can get a great reading from that. But if you allow those messages to come through, then you start to get a more relatable message for that person. It just starts to clarify it all. And the other one I look at too is imagery. Now, this is the basic one, which is your card readings, your oracle readings, your tarot readings, runes, and, of course, your flower readings, your images that you read of the flowers. Now, again, we go back to here is the image, the logical aspect to that image. And then you bring in your intuitive messages. So when I started doing oracle cards and tarot cards, I had to learn what the card meant and had to get an understanding of it. But then I could interpret it and bring forward my messages, my symbolize, what I see the language is, and I could bring that forward. That's what makes a good reader. What they can see. I know one lady who did a lot of tarot readings, and she basically just read exactly what the card said, and nothing else came through. She just read the card, which is fine. It still works, but there was no connection to it. There was no other strength to it, and she wasn't allowing her intuitive messages to come through. Or some people call them psychic. I call it intuitive. She wasn't allowing those messages to come through. When I'm doing flower readings, okay, so we all know that the stem, oh, we don't all know, but I'll let you know now. The stem is your path or your journey to get to your goal. Goal is the bloom, the blossom itself. So the path is the stem or the journey. And okay, we know that. I can turn around and say, okay, you've got a straight stem, you've got a straight path or journey. But that's not bringing my intuition through. That's just reading the physical signs to it. Then I have to bring my intuition into it. I have to allow those messages to come through. And that's when you start to really engage and you allow that person to go on the journey with you. And they sort of go, oh, yes, that's what that means. Oh, yes, that makes sense. And you bring those messages through. So that is the, you know, cards, oracle cards are such a great way to start you to trust your intuition. Flower readings, fantastic way, because very, very basic in a flower reading, but there's millions of different flower reading images. When I even talk about a red rose, how many images of red roses can you find on Google? And I can tell you there's a lot. So it's not just about the single flower, it's the image itself. So really an understanding of that. It just takes you away from that limited oracle card deck or limited deck or limited flower readings, what are growing in your local area. You can have an image from all over the world. It doesn't matter. It's what resonates with you. I did a couple the other day and the lady said, the colour I'm thinking of is blue, but I don't know any blue flowers. And I said, okay, let's just put it in Google blue flowers. And there was heaps of them, as you can imagine. And I sort of said, just take your time. What one resonates with you? And, you know, I'm scrolling through slowly. And then all of a sudden she goes, oh, that one. I love that one. And that was the reading we did on it. Beautiful blue flowers. Gorgeous. And that was her. And such a busy, 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 busy person, but so calming with the blue. It was just amazing. But anyway, they're the different ways you can do it. So there you are, the tools. So I've got to go. I'm running out of time. I'm again talking too much like I do. But I just want you to remember it's all about asking, receiving, and then actioning. Okay. And the action part is where the trust comes in. All right. We can ask. We can ask because it doesn't hurt. No one knows. We can yell it. We can do it quietly, say it in prayer. We could say it in the shower. We could say it under our breath. But we still ask. Then we start to receive. So receive, be aware of those messages that are coming through, the symbols that are coming through, the understanding that's coming through and how that relates to you, and still be open-minded because, again, it might relate to you this way. This is how I see it. How do you see it? You know, when I'm doing a flower reading, I ask the people, what does the colour yellow mean to you? What does the colour blue mean to you? Because I know what it means to me. But what does it mean to you? Why did you choose that? And the best part about flower readings is that they choose the image. Not me, no restrictions. I don't choose the image. You have to choose the image. And that means your intuition's already kicked in, already telling me. And so you can see what your intuition is saying in a flower reading. But remember, ask, then you receive that information and then you can action it. And again, action it is even sometimes just running it through your head a few times and getting an awareness of it. What am I doing? What am I supposed to be doing? You know, this came up. I don't know how to do that quite yet. You may not have all the information. It may be an action to say yes, but you may not have all the information. So yes, you're going to be doing that. But hang on a minute. If it's not quite feeling right, hang on a minute, wait until you get some more information. Wait until you become more informed. So we've gone through ask, receive, and action. And that's the main thing about if you can do that, you know, get more love on it if you can do that. So if you're ready to unlock your intuition to its full potential, you can jump onto my website, intuitivenature.com.au. It is Australian business. And I have got some online tools there, online courses there. So there's one on tools to develop your intuition. And basically it goes through all those different types of tools that we were talking about. And it gives you the opportunity to have a try, because that's why I put the tools to develop your intuition on there. It's more about you testing to see what you like, what resonates with you. You might look at pendulums and go, oh, I don't want to do pendulums. You might look at pendulums and go, wow, I love that. That's so easy. It's such a great way of doing it. And it resonates with me. I worked with pendulums for a long time because it just helped me gain more trust in the messages that I was getting. So, you know, there's no right or wrong. It's a little way of testing. And I've also got the flower readings, the basic flower readings, just so we go through like five different elements or six different elements of a flower reading to give you a taste. It's only $7.95, just to give you a taste. And it's probably cheaper in America because of the exchange in money. So it's probably even cheaper there. It gives you a real basic run on flower readings. What do the petals of attraction mean? Your guides, what are your guides doing? Looking at the different areas there. If you go up a few levels in the flower readings, you go actually into the images. So you start to go, you know, the difference between a portrait and a landscape image. That's your motivation. You know, why you want to get that goal? How are you going to get that goal? Are you motivated in a particular way? And you get that understanding. You can go into the sides of the flower, which is your personality. And sometimes we are a quieter person. We may be more of an introvert, but we have to be an extrovert to get this out, especially if it's a business goal. We start to go, hang on, business goal, you got to be out there, you know? Or a business goal, no, you just need to be a bit more passive, step back and allow the people come to you. So we have all these different areas. In a business goal, the petals are your marketing. So there's the other area to look at too. But we have all these different ways that we can look at it. If you want to jump on the website, intuitivenature.com.au, make sure it's got the Australian business at the very end, and you can jump on there and, join our family in a course. That is me for today. I think I've just rattled on really quickly. I do apologize that if I did, but you got, there's so many things in there. I mean, I haven't even sat on the chakras, how that information comes through in your chakras, you know, and you will get that in a different way. And that's where your chakras will develop a lot more. Again, my partner, his third eye, he gets a lot through the third eye. I get a lot through the crown. It just comes like, you just get these messages. It's like, whoa, where'd that come from? But that's it. I'm here. I go again. Have a great week, guys. I will see you next week. And I think that's it. Yeah, share, subscribe, like, enjoy the podcast, share it around with everyone, and hopefully we can get everyone to learn to trust their gut. Okay, that's me for now. I will say bye and have a great week. Bye for now.